gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris the Boy, Voice D.D. Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. SexyLiberal.com for the Sexy Liberal Tickets Big L.A. Show this Saturday. Mm-hmm. By the by,
what?
I have one more thing to blame Mitt Romney for.
What?
Would you like to know what I blame Mitt Romney for? What did I say when we've talked about Bain and what he did?
What?
And then we know what we're talking about because we're sitting in Clear Channel, our fabulous flagship affiliate.
That's right.
Who was taken over by Bain. What happened? They fired lots of our friends, piled lots of debt on top of us, and now everybody has 16 jobs here.
Exactly.
So, you know the normally high-strung, sexy liberal tour director, Roland?
Yes. Mm.
Guess what he just found out yesterday?
What?
That on our local website, K-Talk, it still has last year's dates for Sexy Liberal at the Wadsworth in October 21st
Fantastic.
And 22nd. I thought he was going to explode.
Why would they have that?
Because...
Just to mess with us.
We have great people that work here, but they all have 17 jobs.
Okay.
And whoever has to write whatever, so we fixed it yesterday. But we wondered why all these people were going to scalping sites and were freaking out and couldn't find
wow.
tickets. Because they had... The Pantages has not even been listed. And that's my point.
Huh.
Hmm.
I blame Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah.
No, I don't blame him. What? Anyway... No, I blame. This is a way to blame Mitt Romney for something.
Oh, I see.
I'm not saying a conspiracy. He knew the sexy liberal was going to happen here. But guess what, Mittens? We're almost all sold out anyway. So, ha-ha. Right. Anyway, we do. We have a fabulous sales staff here, fabulous program director. We have everybody does an amazing job to keep the this. And so that's why. It's just, no. Everybody literally gets the same salary and they have to do seven jobs. It's just, Mittens. All right.
We share this room with seven other shows.
Yes. And my friend Bill Handel, who does the show right over there on our 50,000-watt sister station, he is hilarious. He's coming to the show. He even gave us a big plug. You have to listen to this because it's hilarious.
Well, what would you do if someone you care
about? Oh, that's not what that is.
Bart Simpson did a promo for
us? Did I say everyone on the show does a good job?
Oh, dear.
Okay. Here it is.
This Saturday, Stephanie Miller... Miss Liberal over there in K-Talk, is doing one of her shows, which I'm going to attend, and I'm having a great time. It's at the Pantages Theater. There are very limited tickets, but this is the enemy talking. And she is hugely entertaining, and I'm going to be there. And for those of you who want to know what the enemy says in comedic form, and she is hilarious, by the way, and a group of very liberal comedians with her, this is fun stuff. You know, this is going to the other side. This is actually going to the dark side and watching Voldemort on stage.
I sent him a big thank you note. Just love Voldemort. Anyway, thank you, Bill. That was awesome. On his big 50,000-watt stick over there, which made almost all the rest of the tickets go, so I would hurry. There are some left, but go to Ticketmaster.com.
Right.
Don't go, because if you just Google tickets, people are going to scalping sites, and Roland is losing his as we speak.
Yeah.
I think he's sedated right now.
Yes. And all of the necessary links are at sexyliberal.com. Anything you could ever want is right there.
Right. So. And Sexy Liberal on Facebook. All right. It's time for To Get Frisch. Here we go.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com. So inviting to me. Frisch, Frisch, Frisch. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Je suis Mitt Romney. Je suis Anglo-Saxon. Vous savez, vous plaisez, mi ami.
Very nice. Very nice. You know, normally I enjoy your tweets, but this one you had to make kill my last remaining dream, and you said congratulations to David Schuster on his engagement. Oh.
I know.
There goes my last dream to be Mrs. Most Interesting Man in the World. Oh, well, all right.
We're very happy for him.
We're very happy for him. And we
That's
congratulate
right. He's tying the knot. It's good news.
Yeah, exactly. And congratulations. Okay, let's, can I just say, of all Romney's flip-floppy, muddled statements, what the hell was he talking about on gun control? What? He said it was illegal for the Colorado shooter to have many of the weapons he had. No, that's the whole point, Mittens. Paying attention, none of them were illegal. That's the whole issue.
Are you claiming that Mitt Romney has to pay attention to facts?
Yeah, apparently not. Asked in an interview whether...
I mean, he also said that He also said that he wasn't going to attack the president overseas, but you've got his advisors telling reporters off the record that, you see, we don't have a good relationship with the English. Okay, tell that to the English. Because Barack Obama doesn't share their Anglo-Saxon heritage.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Right,
and now they're just denying it. They're like, no, that's a lie. It's like, what, the paper's standing by the story. What do you mean it's a lie?
So it's just more examples of the absurdity that is Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
I mean, he must feel like he's going to his high school reunion, being in London at the same time as the Olympic athletes are arriving and whatnot. Although, you know, what's interesting is, I don't know if you saw that story about Grindr, that gay iPhone application, dating application, crashing because of all the people coming in for the Olympics.
Yeah.
But I have a funny feeling that the same thing is going to happen at the Republican convention.
Tampa.
So that they can espouse their stance against marriage equality. Okay, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Here we go. Oh, Rick Scarborough on American Family Radio?
Yeah.
Okay. Christians, either by their not voting or by voting with their emotions, the last election put Barack Obama in the White House. I believe he's the worst president in the history of the country. I believe he's a dangerous president. And I believe that America will not survive four more years under his leadership. I can't imagine a Barack Obama unleashed without another election to face.
Unleashed.
Wow.
Can I just say,
they're a bunch of drama queens for a bunch of homophobes, aren't they? The end?
Yeah,
really, the end of America. Hyperbole much?
Well, I mean, you don't need 3 hours of radio 5 days a week, these guys, just to say that he's black. I mean that's the translation that they're really going for. But these are, you know, certifiable nut jobs, these American Family Radio people.
Right.
So I'm not surprised. I mean, they've been pushing the end of times prophecy under this president since the day he was elected, calling him the Antichrist.
Yeah. Okay. So I know it's, I guess, 3 hours a day. It's hard to fund enough different ways. There's not a thesaurus big enough to figure out how to say he's black.
Right.
For 3 hours every day.
Well, and they think
a different way.
And like science and the media, they think synonyms are, you know, have a certifiable liberal bias.
Yeah, they're French and gay synonyms. Okay. Frank Gaffney, isn't he something? Noted Islamophobe on Secure Freedom Radio.
Wow, that must be
Wow, so little time, so many right-wing whack radio networks.
See what you make me listen to?
The central thrusts of this effort really is not just that the administration doesn't seem to understand it, but that they seem to
Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, perhaps receptive, but at least being seriously subjected to an influence operation
seems
by these Muslim Brotherhood operatives. To what extent is this, to what extent is there enough of a basis for concern that this is done in a systematic, disciplined, rigorous way? I guess the Brotherhood calls it civilization jihad, to warrant investigation by these inspectors general.
Oh.
Wow.
You know, I think what we've all concluded, Carl, is that Anthony Weiner is one tricky Jew. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
To have infiltrated the Muslim Brotherhood. Sisterhood to that degree, literally.
There are a few characters in the right-wing movement that are more despicable than Frank Gaffney.
You're right.
I mean, this is a guy that when Hillary Clinton was abroad in Egypt, he was rallying Egyptians against her. Don't be discouraged, because a lot of right-wing groups won't even let Frank Gaffney speak at their meetings anymore.
Yeah, and by the way,
he's so loony.
By the way, Carl, if, you know, our Secretary of State or her top aide had been shot overseas, like, you know, that would be not a good time to politicize this, and rhetoric has nothing to do with this. It's the same thing, isn't it? I mean, this rhetoric is just, when you have John McCain and John Boehner standing on the floor of the House and Senate saying this is despicable, you know, we've crossed some line, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Frank Gaffney is essentially Michelle Bachmann's homeschool instructor.
Yeah.
this is where she gets all of this baloney, weird garbage.
And she
will buy anything that he buys.
I just love the big cartoon hand knocking. Marcus going, who is it? Oh, Michelle, it's your homeschool teacher here again. Told you, not in the middle of my dance recital.
I don't know if you saw all those rumors that were being reported, and finally USA Today, I think, got to the bottom of it and reported that no, Marcus Bachmann would not be running for office. In fact, it was going to be Michelle again. People were actually debating whether or not Marcus Bachmann was going to run for office. And I was like,
fabulous.
I mean, ever since the cameras left, he's been, you know, doing that small business of pray the gay away. He's been on his knees ever since the cameras left.
Really?
Right.
Yes. Really?
With a corn dog.
Oh, you know what? He's practicing to get a better picture in Iowa next year.
Yeah.
Oh, if the comedy gods were only good enough to let Marcus Bachmann run for office. Oh, please, please, God.
I mean, where is their reality show? If they're going to do Sarah Palin's Alaska,
yes.
I'd love to see, like, an Anthony Bourdain-style reality show where the Bachmanns go from state fair to state fair.
Marcus Bachmann's Sausage Factory.
Exactly. On that image, let's pause for a moment. Carl Frisch remains in the sidecar.
You know that famous picture of Mitt Romney putting on a glove in front of a sign that says fudge?
Yeah.
Of this.
Perfect.
Marcus.
You've contributed to getting pictures that are unintentionally hilarious. Okay. No, go ahead. Toss that salad. It'll be funny.
Yeah.
It's everybody's doing it on Top Shelf. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Kids, you know, during
toss
the summer.
That Greek salad.
No,
go ahead. Let's do it.
We need to nail down the Greek boat. All right, come on. We're just too immature. 18 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Frisch and more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's full of witches and strange creatures of the night.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Everybody?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Ow. What if you're like in a coma?
Everybody.
I mean,
wow. Everybody.
We can all
okay.
make an effort. 23 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Speaking of everybody, why, look, Carl Frisch is here, everybody. As we continue Right Wing World, why are we torturing Carl Frisch with right wing whack radio shows? This is like a special, it could be its own segment. Brian Kilmeade Radio?
Yeah.
He still have a show? Is it still Brian and the Judge? Or
no, it's just
Brian and Turner and Hooch? Or who
it's
is?
It's just Brian.
Oh.
Yep.
10 Speed and Brown Shoe.
Yeah. Brown Shoe not with him anymore?
Brown Shoe's not with him anymore.
Too bad. Too bad. Okay, Martha McCollum.
Every time I hear it full again, I'm struck not only by the words that he says, but by the intonation in it. And that statement, you know, you think it's just because you're so smart. I think, how can you denigrate, you know, people who have been successful and run a good business? It's the intonation in it is what shocks me as much as the words. And I think it's perfectly clear that there's some level of resentment in that statement. I don't know how you can say there isn't.
Wow. It's the intonation in the president's remarks that tell her although what he said is that you didn't build the highways and the bridges that go to your business.
But he's so arrogant.
It's the way
he said it that means.
Well, and to these Fox News people, they seem to think that just because you play it more often that you're giving it more context, and they're simply not playing the proper context. They're not playing the pieces where he talks about how, you know, you had a good teacher, perhaps, you know, the roads that were built, the police that kept your property safe, et cetera. There's nothing controversial in the slightest, and if they were really upset with Obama and they weren't trying to use this for some political gain, they'd be attacking Romney because he said essentially the same thing.
I just was
going to
say. Yes, but if in case you haven't noticed.
President, and he said the same things at the Olympics when he was chairman.
Yeah, that's right.
In case you haven't noticed, though, he's white. And he did this with his hands when he said that. So that's why it's different.
I think you are accusing Fox News of shoddy journalism there.
Why?
Carl Frisch.
I would never accuse them of any kind of journalism.
Speaking of which, Bill O'Reilly on the president.
President Obama wants to redistribute income and impose social justice through taxing the wealthy and business concerns. That's what he wants to do. But Mr. Obama cannot possibly believe that a giant welfare state leads to strength. It does not. It leads to weakness. Few oppose safety nets for those who, through no fault of their own, have fallen on hard times. A humane society provides for those people, children, the elderly, the mentally and physically depleted. But we are now way beyond that in America. We have become a society that tolerates slackers and in some cases even rewards irresponsible behavior.
Like your show?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, he's basically giving himself an out. I mean, he's basically saying the government should take care of him. He's part of the mentally depleted.
Exactly. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
How many people come from a background like Obama's? Half say Obama has the background, set of values they identify with. Where's the hard scrabble life? Where's the growing up in the Midwest? Where's the numerous jobs as a boy with a hard scrabble life the parents had? There's no life story that Obama has that has much in common with anybody in this country. Obama had a communist, bigamist, absentee father from Kenya.
Wow.
How many people in America can lay claim to that?
Okay, so he still has relatives that live in huts in Kenya, and he's become president of the Harvard Law Review and the United States of America, and that's not
a
hard scrabble. Unless you grew up in the Midwest in a hard scrabble background, it doesn't count.
Well, you have to give Rush Limbaugh some credit there. I mean, he made it through that entire sentence after saying the words hard scrabble without getting distracted. It's like, hard scrabble? I love a good scrabble.
When did I eat scrabble?
Maybe some chorizo. Put some onions in. Sorry. Obama's a Muslim. He will take any opportunity he can to remind people, don't forget the president's black, his father was Kenyan. I suppose it might be a little progress for Rush Limbaugh that he's not fanning the flames of birtherism by saying that his father was somebody else other than who his father was. But the idea that you wouldn't find some inspiration in Obama's personalized story is just ridiculous. And to attack him because his father was a bigamist? Come on. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, you should talk to your three former wives before you attack anybody else because of their marriages.
You know what? I got to give you some credit because that is hard to even find below the belt to hit Rush Limbaugh there, but you just did. I even got in there. I don't know, but that was tricky. All right, Bill Cunningham on Hannity's radio show.
No, Hannity last night.
Oh, on Hannity last night. Yeah. Sure, on how the president's helping too many abnormal people like Hispanics and gays. Yeah.
He has a checklist where he checks off gay marriage, takes care of the gays. He then has amnesty, takes care of the Hispanics. But at some point, he's going to face normal people like Sean Hannity and me, the way Carter faced Reagan in 1984. And believe me, when that happens, you are going to have a very bad night.
Wow. Wow.
I've met Bill Cunningham, and there is nothing normal about Bill Cunningham.
Yes.
He's a radio host out of Cincinnati, and he is a vile creature. I mean, this is the guy, remember, that the McCain campaign had to rebuke because he basically trafficked in birtherism and said that he kept on calling Barack Obama Barack Hussein Obama at that rally with John McCain.
Yeah. Back when there was some sort of shred of decency left on the Republican side, I suppose. Yeah.
Right, and he's the guy that proves that Fox News will put absolutely anybody on their airwaves and that there's no comparison on the left.
And by the way, almost any Hispanic or gay I know is more normal than Bill Cunningham. You're absolutely right. All right. Carl Furst, see you next week, honey. All right,
have a good one.
Oh, look at him chuckling warmly.
Yeah.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You do if someone you cared about might be a loser, but they thought they were awesome. Are you talking about
Stephanie Miller?
That loser? No.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. We forgot the awesome Colonel Wayne Powell coming up.
That's right.
Who is running against Eric Cantor. Coming up in hour number 3. Love him.
Cool.
All right. Yeah. And guess who's going to be a regular? His campaign manager, Mudcat Saunders.
That's right.
Yay.
I love me some Mudcat Saunders. You got a great name and a better accent.
I want to roll around in that honey voice. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Anthony in Las Vegas. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, Stephanie. Hi. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I love the show.
Thank you.
I applaud you for what you guys are saying about Mitt Romney. I truly believe he is Gordon Gekko in the flesh. He is that character personified.
Except Gordon Gekko's more articulate.
I mean, actually, he is. And I think he probably, you know, Mitt Romney, he might be more criminal.
Yeah. So, well, you know, Anthony, and how many of these stories do we need? There's, a, what was it, Chris, yesterday, Associated Press, there's more evidence that he was there when he says he was not there.
Right.
And it just, it's incredible. He's calling for, what did he say, you know, it's time for full disclosure. I think he was talking about the security leaks in the at the White House. And literally, he has not, he's not revealed anything.
Right.
His Bain record, his Massachusetts records are gone. His time running the Olympics, that's all gone.
All gone.
Like, he's destroyed the records of pretty much everything that he's telling us, that's why we should vote for him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. But all this new stuff is, I mean, I'm like, okay, so let me get this straight. You got paid. You signed the SEC filings. You were, and yet you say you were not doing anything. At the, how do I get that gig?
And he has the huevos to call for more transparency.
Yes.
More transparency.
Time for
the
full
black
disclosure is what he said.
Okay.
Great. Lee in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee.
Hi. You know what? I think I figured out who the Romney advisor was that did the interview for The Telegraph.
Who's that?
There's a guy named, Gardner, Niall Gardner.
Oh, he's on Fox News all the time.
Yeah.
Niles.
He works for the Heritage Foundation.
Niall.
And his expertise is Anglo-American special. Here's the kicker. He's a writer for The Telegraph.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I love in the campaign.
He majored in white studies.
The campaign based primarily on lies. That's what they're going with? Is the Obama administration lying about the thing that their guy said the newspaper is standing by?
I'm not sure who this person is, but I can tell you that we have a very special relationship between the United States and Great Britain. It goes back to our very beginnings, cultural and historical. But I also believe the president understands that. So I don't agree with whoever that advisor might be.
Whoever that is.
Yeah, whoever it is.
I don't know. Whoever it is, I don't agree with what he said.
I don't know who that guy could be. Possibly.
Notice that neither he nor we really know who his advisors are.
No.
They're kind of shadowy.
He's not really for full disclosure unless it's from the President Obama, I guess.
He has a cabal.
You know what? I've got an idea. They need to take that soundbite of Mitt Romney saying it's time for full disclosure and then put all the stuff that we need. It taxes, your all bank record, your the Olympics, your years as governor, all of that sealed magically.
Let's see all that stuff.
Yeah.
By full disclosure, I meant partial or non-existent.
Here it is. Romney made repeated trips to Bain, waited on business decisions after 1999. Why? It's just the latest. As news organizations uncover more and more information about Mitt Romney's tenure at Bain, the Romney camp has continuously shifted its own goalposts. First standing by its claim that Romney stepped down from Bain in 99, then settling on the argument that Romney retroactively retired in 1999, despite remaining CEO through 2002. On Wednesday, a new report from the Associated Press reveals that he made several trips to Boston to meet with partners and other key employees at Bain's Capitol headquarters while running the Olympics in Salt Lake. The details contradict Romney's claim that he did not interact with the company after leaving at all in 1990. In fact, this is a quote. Why, I was in Salt Lake City for three straight years. I don't recall even coming back once to go to a Bain or management meeting.
That's a lie.
One former senior Bain partner said that once Romney had accepted the Olympics position, he would make suggestions but not decisions.
Right.
So let me get this straight. So your name is on the SEC filings. You're making suggestions and getting paid for said suggestions.
I suggest you give the money back.
That's what I suggest. Wow, that is spectacular. I'm going to see if I can get that deal here. I can just retire and go home and drink Fox wine.
Right.
But I will offer suggestions.
Over the phone.
No,
you
just text them.
You guys suck without me. All right, when's my check coming? Okay. I just want to know if I can get that. I'm going to call the guy that I'm just going to ask him if I can get that gig. Dave and
how much do I get paid per suggestion?
Dave in Chicago, you're in. You know what? I may already have retroactively retired, and you guys don't even know. I could be a hologram. I could be like Tupac right now.
You certainly could.
I will have had not have been here.
Right.
The future anterior improbable tense.
Sure. Dave in Chicago, you're on the
retroactively.
Exactly.
Blue perfect.
Hey, Stephen. Hi, Moves. Just wanted to bring something along to you. Yesterday on Fox News, they had a story that the United States and many other nations in the world are going to be signing a treaty which will reduce the trade in armaments and arms. And, of course, this means immediately that the U.N. is going to come and get all of your guns.
Yes.
There you go. Yep. It's
obviously.
All,
yeah.
They've been going with that for a while.
The whole plan is magically coming
that's
together.
That's why we
now
need to knock the top 10 floors off, because that's where the gun control guys are.
Right? Thank you,
I get
John
it now.
Bolton. John Bolton, key Romney advisor, actually.
Huh. Really?
The United States
yes
makes the U.N. work when it wants it to work. And that is exactly the way it should be, because the only question oof for the United States is what's in our national interest.
Oh,
and if you don't
pound,
like that,
pound,
I'm
pound,
sorry,
pound,
but
pound
that is the fact.
Wow. Yeah, and that's another thing we learned about John Bolton. He has an amazing phlegm problem. Okay.
Oh, okay. Wilbur.
Okay. Jennifer in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jen.
Hi, how are you, Mama?
Good. Go ahead, Jen.
Good. Okay, so I'm the first-time caller, so be gentle.
Oh, we're always gentle. And we'll tell you you're pretty. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Okay, so I work at a very conservative, small-town Catholic institution where every day I hear small-minded coworkers calling Obama an evil communist, African Muslim. Have to bite my tongue just because I've opened my mouth before and it's gotten me nothing but trouble. It's very frustrating, but I just wanted to say every morning you provide me with your wonderful, sexy, liberal intelligence and you
aww
make me giggle. So
aww,
thank you, thank you, thank you, and I love you so much.
Aww, aww, thank you, Jen. You are adorable.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye. She's so cute. Aww. We make her giggle.
But you know what? The right wing does bully like that. They bully people with yeah whom they don't agree.
Yeah. Somebody told me they had some sort of Democratic bumper sticker the other day, and some right winger put a post-it with mm-hmm a nasty thing on it. Like, who stops to?
Really?
I have a thought on your bumper sticker, and here it is. And it was all in caps, which she said her mother told her is proof that a guy has a teeny tiny penis. Which I don't know.
Oh,
what
yes
true.
You're assuming a guy would.
Well, I'm just guessing, someone that would leave all caps posted on your bumper sticker that they don't like?
Well, it means they're shouting in writing form.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't like what you do or think!
A lot of my best hate letters, all in caps.
Well, you know, at least you didn't like smash a window or anything, just left
yeah
it. True, there's that.
Donald in Illinois. Hello, Don.
Yes, hi. How you doing, Stephanie?
Good, go ahead. Good.
Yeah, the thing is, what really gets me about everything, my family's pretty much Republican, and I feel like I'm in that movie, The Body Snatchers, where I'm running through the streets trying to warn everybody what's coming down the pike, and nobody seems to believe me. They listen to all these right-wing television stations like Fox and everything else. The truth of what's going on, what these people are up to, and is not getting out to them. Yesterday, I watched Romney address the veterans of foreign wars.
Mm-hmm.
When it inside that where he was addressing them, I heard a hooah. A hooah? A hooah. I was enraged. When we were all getting drafted in 66, this jerk took off to France
right
and evaded the war. My family didn't even know that he was a draft dodger. None of that has been put out on the air. And, you know, what really kills me about
well,
this
you know,
guy,
and Donald, somebody made a cogent point yesterday, is that he was for the war.
Right.
You know, he was not a conscientious objector like some
he
other.
He was for the draft. He was
right.
Oh, yeah, for the draft. Well, I tried yeah to yeah point this out to my family, and I said, you know, he was for the draft, and he took off while we were all getting drafted back then. The truth of the matter is, when this guy, if he ever gets in, he will start a war with Iran. That's a guarantee he has to prove himself. And it's so
yeah
easy for
well
him.
Well, particularly if he keeps taking checks from Sheldon Adelson, I would, yeah,
yeah,
imagine.
Yeah, I'd like to see his five sons go up there with 11 Bravo MOS on a front line.
Yeah.
But you want to know something? You know what kills me about these politicians that want to drag us into a war with all these patriotism and all this patriotic nonsense? They'll go into a war, and when your kids are coming home in body bags, there you can bet your boots you'll find their children behind the safe
yeah
end of a
yeah
broken bottle every time.
Yep. All right, Don. Thank you.
The flat A.
By the way, I love the flat A.
I know.
I'm from Lackport. Up
yeah
the transit from Cheektowaga and Tanawanda, Lackawanna. I'm just guessing.
This guy was for the draft, but he wouldn't
yeah
let himself get drafted.
Can bet your boots.
But
by the way, I'm guessing that Mitt Romney is going to get a post-it note from Sheldon Adelson. The top of that will be start a war with Iran. By the way, there's probably Post-its come on the checks. Here's $100 million. Start where with it ran. Number two, make sure that, you know,
whatever
thing with the Chinese mom goes away.
Allison said he was sorry he served, you know, for the U.S. He fought for Israel.
For Israel.
Well, okay. Then
go for
leave.
It.
Go.
Yeah.
Go back there.
Go live. Go.
Messing around with coverage of that. That would have been the headline 24/7 on Fox News if someone on the Democratic side had said, I served for the American Army, unfortunately.
Yeah. Right.
I wish I'd fought for the Kenyan Army.
How would that go over? I wonder if Fox would cover that. If the president said, unfortunately. Yeah. All right. 45 minutes.
But he didn't serve in Vietnam. Oh, because he was 8.
Yeah.
Like, that's an excuse.
Sheesh. I'm going to think about some more Sheldon Adelson Post-it notes during the break. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Kid tested, John Conyers approved. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi. Steffi.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the very best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. Okay, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will play compare and contrast with the president and Mitten's thoughts on guns.
Okay.
In just a moment. Let's go to Beverly in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bev.
Hi, Mama. How you doing?
Good, baby. Go ahead.
First time caller. First of all, how's your dog?
Max is doing very well. Thank you.
I had a Bichon who had epilepsy, and he contracted cancer. He just died recently.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know if he has epilepsy or he injected a toxin. We don't know yet. We have to wait and see. And I'm deciding whether to do an MRI, which we would need a very big machine.
Yes.
I'm currently looking for an MRI machine big enough for Max. All right, go ahead.
Well, this is I got two facts for you.
Okay.
I just heard on Bill Press from a Democratic congressman from Connecticut who stated that John Boehner, after they get back from vacation in August, will only work 8 days in September. Are these people know-nothings or what?
Wow. They're making good on their promise. That's all they care about is making the president a one-term president, and anything they can do to help, that's what they'll do. To help you? No. Forget about
it. No. Pete says no.
Oh, hell no.
Hell to the no. All right. So, wow, the president made some, he urges tighter background check. You know what? Stuff that we all used to be able to agree on, like he said, was just common sense.
Yeah.
No, not anymore. I hate to name drop, but I was lucky enough to have this conversation with Al Gore the other night.
Wow.
Because they passed the assault weapons ban in 94 with under Clinton and Gore. It's not that long ago that people could agree on what you would think is common sense.
Right.
That civilians shouldn't be armed with military-style weapons. We got a letter, remember, yesterday, Jim, from a veteran who said, the military doesn't have 100-round clips. You know? I mean, right. So it's, anyway. But anyway, President Obama called for tougher background checks designed to keep guns out of the hands of the criminals and the mentally ill. Can we all agree?
That sounds great.
I think you might be able to.
Oh, spoken like a Kenyan.
Okay, the president.
I, like most Americans, believe that the Second Amendment guarantees an individual the right to bear arms. But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Thank you.
He wants to take your guns away. It's so obvious.
He went on to say they belong on the battlefield of war, not on the streets of our cities. I believe the majority of gun owners would agree that we should do everything possible to prevent criminals and fugitives from purchasing weapons, that we should check someone's criminal behavior before they can check out a gun seller. The mentally unbalanced individual should not be able to get his hands on a gun so easily. These steps shouldn't be controversial. They should be common sense.
That's right.
Yeah.
See, he wants to take your guns away.
He also basically a nod to the politics of it. He said, when there's an extraordinarily heartbreaking tragedy like the one we saw, there's always an outcry immediately after for action. There's talk of new reforms. There's talk of new legislation. Too often those efforts are defeated by politics and by lobbying and eventually by the pull of our collective attention elsewhere. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the, but people keep asking that. Like, how many of these do we need to have? How much worse does it need to get? He also singled out youth violence, warned that government can only do so much. He said it's up to us as parents and neighbors and as teachers and mentors to make sure our young people don't have that void inside of them.
Well, so many of these people are so indoctrinated, though, they actually think it's a good idea for everyone to be heavily armed.
Yeah.
That's going to make everything safer.
And you know what? If everyone is heavily armed, we turn into Somalia.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't want to live in that kind of country.
Wow, and even for Mitt Romney, let's play compare and contrast. This was, wow, did he muddle this? He said it was illegal for the Colorado shooter to have many of the weapons he had the night of the incident.
No.
But he still does not believe changing gun laws will prevent similar accidents from happening. Yeah, so let's not even talk about it. What? Asked in an interview on NBC News whether a citizen should be able to buy 6,000 rounds off the Internet, Romney responded, well, this person shouldn't have had any kinds of the weapons or bombs or other devices. It was illegal for him to have many of those things already. No. Number one, that's the point.
Right.
Is all four of the weapons he used were legally purchased. That's the whole issue. So then a spokeswoman for Romney said the candidate was referring to the bombs. Oh, I see.
In the apartment?
Yes. Not the weapons, you see. Romney went on to say in the interview that changing the law won't prevent these shooting incidents. But he had them, he said, at the arsenal, and so we can sometimes hope that changing the law will make all bad things go away. It won't. No one's saying it's going to make all bad things go away, but it's
going to make it harder for him to get...
It's not common sense to say it's one component. There's Romney.
I don't happen to believe that America needs new gun laws. A lot of what this young man did was clearly against the law. But the fact that it was against the law did not prevent it from happening.
Gobbledygook, gobbledygook, word salad, blah, blah, blah.
We're talking
about someone
being able to get off 100 rounds in the 90 seconds it took the police to respond. I mean, that how you cannot think that's a common sense problem, I don't know.
And how lucky that the police were able to get there that
when
quickly.
When do you get that kind of response call?
Not here.
Yeah, there's people listening in South Central going, what?
Yeah.
It's about 3 hours.
90 seconds.
Try 90 days.
Denise, yeah, what month is this? Denise in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Denise.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
Good, okay. I wanted to make a comment about the company Bain and also Mitt Romney's comment that a company is people too. I once asked a CEO, who makes up the company? Who is the company? And he told me, the stock owners. So looking at Bain, the only stock holder they had was Mitt Romney. So how is he not involved if that is his company?
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't pass the laugh test for a normal person.
Yeah.
These, you know, gobbledygook answers we keep getting from the Romney camp.
Goodness and niceness are good things to have.
Yes, and...
And trees are just the right height.
Yes. Jane in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi.
I had a couple of ideas I thought you might like.
Thank you.
I have some acronyms for some of the ideas. Okay.
Okay.
We all love lobbyists, right?
Sure. Who doesn't?
Right. So let's have an organization in this country called PLOW, Put Lobbyists Out of Work.
Very nice.
And I think it could be an organization with real teeth if the right people could get to it.
Yep.
And we know what lobbyists do, some good, some bad. We want to know what they do. And if we could put them out of work, maybe they'd feel the same pain the rest of us do.
Yeah. K Street would be a ghost town.
Yeah, exactly. Barroom doors, crickets.
Right.
Tim in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Steph?
Hi, Tim.
Man, I'm just feeling some heat this morning, but I just want to say two things and I'm gone.
Okay.
I don't see how people can vote for Romney because he would be a big presidential punk because he wouldn't be able to do anything until he reported to Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the Koch brothers. He said nothing when Rush Limbaugh called Sandra Fluke a slut. He said nothing about Ted Nugent. He was just like, well, what do I say, guys? He would have to muster with them on the phone before he could take a position on anything that was reasonable for the people of this country.
Yep, absolutely. And the other thing is, he went after those endorsements. He chased Ted Nugent's endorsements. This isn't just someone like, oh, I can't be responsible for everyone on my side. You chased his endorsements.
Absolutely.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, so 6 minutes after the hour. Well, Jackie Schechner should not have told that.
Yeah.
Told us that. Mrs. Schechner, it's Stephanie at StephanieMiller.com. If you would like to send along some pictures of Jackie Schechner as a teenage
majorette.
Someone just got added to the opening act Saturday night with Chris and Jim at the Sexy Liberal Show at the Pantages. All right. And we want the full uniform. You could just FedEx the uniform to me, too. All right. She's like 3 pounds. She probably fits in it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Check it out. Tickets almost gone, but there are tickets available. Go right to Ticketmaster.com or the Pantages. You could check things out on SexyLiberal.com, SexyLiberal on Facebook. Teresa's going to be there. See y'all on Saturday. I can't wait. My sweetie Tom bought show meet and greet tickets for us as a Mother's Day gift. That's back in May. Bitches be crazy. I've been counting the days. Teresa and Tom will be there. Yahoo! Along with two big guys. Chris, can we just say?
I've been
comedy. On the panel, they both qualify as comedy legends.
Yes.
Two comedy, multiple award-winning comedy legends.
Milton Berle?
I think you
panel.
Can say who one
no!
of them is.
No.
Why not?
Because it's not classy. It's a surprise.
If you're trying to drum up ticket sales,
no,
you might want to...
People know that there's big, huge names
okay.
on the panel.
All right.
It's not classy.
And if it turns out to be Carrot Top, people are going to be...
Big celebrities are skittish. I'm not saying it. Okay. And in the audience, too, I'm told. Lots of
big
celebrities. All right. Oh, this is a love letter to me from Jody in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Who, thank you. Notice, you know what you two don't notice? Who knew Steph was such a sweetheart? Thank you, Jody.
Really?
Hey, shut up!
This is a kiss-up letter if I've ever heard. Good Lord.
She refers to the hate letter I read the other day. Steph, who knew you were such a sweetheart? I didn't until yesterday when I saw how you protected Jim and Chris from getting their feelings hurt from that nasty guy's hate mail.
Oh,
it was really sweet the way you only read the mean things about that he said about you and not about your friends. Yeah! And let me disagree about the nasty email writer and tell you that you have a beautiful voice, you don't eat like a cow, and no one wears a baseball hat with as much femininity as you. Thank you, Jody. You are a true lady, except for when you burp, which the current cameras caught one day. Wow! You could beat Ooger and Booger at a burping contest.
Wow, yeah.
Thank you, Jody. I consider that a compliment, too. Thank you. Thank you. You bastards don't appreciate how I defend you.
Yeah, but then you showed me what he said about me.
I shouldn't have. You were too like, give me that. I was like, no! I wasn't going to read it on the air. Mm. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. David in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Stephanie.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Everything else is irrelevant. The economy, Afghanistan, Pakistan, unemployment. Did you guys see Obama's Urban League speech?
I saw it, yeah. Yes. Yeah, I saw
especially
parts of it.
At the beginning?
Yeah.
Where he was really relaxed and having fun with the crowd?
Yep.
I want 4 more years of that smile.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I thought it was just...
Okay?
Yeah.
It just lights up a room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's genuine, unlike Mitt Romney's grimace.
I love what he was talking about. American school kids have to hit the books. This was off the cuff. He said, if they want to compete with their peers, he said, you're competing against young people in Beijing and Bangalore. They're not hanging out. They're not getting over. They're not playing video games. They're not watching Real Housewives. I'm just saying it's a two-way street. You've got to earn success.
That's right.
And then he said, that wasn't in my prepared remarks.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
I'm impressed he knows what Real Housewives are.
Just saying. He was addressing the slackers.
That's right.
Okay. Brenda in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brenda.
Hi there, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Steph, I'm going to run this by you, and it's really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that men has always rebelled against his father. Number one, his father was against the war in Nam. Mitt was for the war in Nam.
Yeah.
Fatherly.
Yeah, you know, Brenda, you bring up a good point. He has the same daddy issues, I think, that George W. Bush
oh,
had.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah, he has daddy issues. And when he loses the election in November, he's husband accused his father for it.
Yeah.
Men has always blamed others for his actions.
Yep, yep. All right. But God save us from the rich white boys that have daddy issues that have to work them out as president.
Yeah, we've had enough of that.
But contrast Obama's ability to ad-lib and Romney. These trees are the right height. And those are pancakes.
Wow. Those seem
I
to
love
be
the lakes, especially the inland
things.
Lakes. How's that? Like, give me one of those things, a 7-Eleven-y, kind of chocolatey. Wow.
Do you ever just, do you guys have the same look on your face when you watch him on TV? I'm just like, what? How are you?
Just don't talk.
We were saying, I don't know how I'm going to get through the election, just the fact that he's so irritating.
Well, yeah.
It's just hard to watch. It's like, oh.
Well, he's so inauthentic.
Even, yes. He is like the movie popcorn of humans, or movie popcorn butter. It's like he's like a human-like substance. It's not exactly human, right?
It's yellow and oily.
It's something, right?
But not.
Yeah. It's like a Chinese knockoff of a human. It's not quite the real thing.
Japanese robots.
All right.
You know, that try to convey emotion, but they just don't quite do it.
Yeah. It's like the chips. Like, he's just like he's an earlier version that they haven't perfected yet in terms of being lifelike. It's just there's something a little off.
He's like one of those early Pringles. You know, they were trying to go for a potato chip, but it didn't quite.
It seemed like space
together.
Food.
Yeah.
It was like space
ice cream.
Right.
They didn't find the right polymers to hold it together.
Exactly.
Mitt Romney does not have the right polymers holding him together. he's like Bush in that sense. Like, remember how Bush would have those, you know,
googly
telegraphing
eyes?
Comedy eyebrows when he was
googly
talking
eyes.
About death or something, and you're just like, no.
They will be put to death.
Just like the same thing, like an empathy chip, something missing.
Yeah.
We didn't, that needs to be rebooted.
Yeah, like one of those Japanese sex robots that's kind of dead in the eyes.
Really?
Like,
and you would know this how?
They're all over the
that's
internet.
The quote of the day. That's
what?
The quote of the day. George W. Bush, like, Japanese sex robots.
Dead in the eyes.
Dead in the eyes.
Yeah.
Okay,
you go to Gizmodo.com, the gadgets blog, they're
sex
all over that.
Sex robot, isn't it nice?
Show is taking a turn for the weird. A
little bit.
Okay. Ever since Jackie Schechter threw out that majorette thing, it's like Jim's brain disconnected
as
a whole new Jackie Schechter fantasy. All right. And then we just took a turn for the weird.
Yeah.
All right. The president taking it to Mitt Romney on clearly taking his words out of context about small business.
Those ads, taking my words about small business out of context, they're flat out wrong. Of course Americans build their own businesses. Every day, hardworking people sacrifice to meet a payroll, create jobs, and make our economy run. And what I said was that we need to stand behind them, as America always has.
What he should do is play Elizabeth Warren's original quote, which lays it out.
Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a quick comment on a historical achievement that could be made for the American people if the Senate would pass the audit the Fed bill from Congressman Grayson and Ron Paul.
Yep.
And I think it's something that deserves attention because whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's beneficial for all for us to know a lot of things that are kept in secret.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's it. Thank you, guys.
Oh, all right. Thank you. He'll take no further questions.
Yeah.
That was just a statement. Okay. Al in Mississippi. Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Long time lover. First time caller.
Yes. Aww. All right, then.
Yes, I have two jokes for you.
Oh.
One my own, one is stolen.
Okay.
Mitt Romney reminds me of a Ken doll. Plastic on the outside, Halloween on the inside, and has no genitalia.
No genitalia.
Yeah. And quite the smoothie.
Oh, Al Louise in Mississippi.
And my second joke is from, because of all the gun banning, I stole this from Bill Maher. He said it was more guns in the United States than there are people, and when you lined them end to end, Ted Nugent would ejaculate until he dissolves in a pile of dust.
Okay, he did not warn me.
well, you know, if Bill Maher said it, he's not on.
Oh, no, he's
network.
Not. He's on that kind of cable. Okay. All right. Let's.
It's a bodily function, so.
We'll pretend that didn't happen. Teresa in Denver, City by the Bay. Hi, Teresa.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
We love you, Denver. City by the Bay.
Yes, and thank you for not taking my call right after your little trip to wherever that was, because I was laughing hysterically and couldn't breathe.
My trip to where?
The Japanese sex robot land?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So thank you.
All right.
Anyways, so I was calling because you know, after the shooting here last week, it seems like we can't have a grown-up conversation with the people on the right about gun control without them, you know, screaming and running around with their hair on fire.
Yeah.
My solution is we implement a tax of $50, $100, whatever, on every gun sold in this country and put it in a fund for when these, you know, nut jobs decide to shoot up a theater or a school or whatever that pays for the medical treatment of the victims, mm-hmm. you know, compensates the first responders for post-traumatic stress, you know, that helps the business owners yeah. that have to close.
Teresa, did you see that some of the, you know, the hospitals in your area are, they're just forgiving the medical bills of the victims?
Yeah, 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Wiping out a lot of it. Like that, you know, that's a perfect example of how we can all help each other, you know, in times of need.
Well, that's communistical.
Yeah.
Well, one of the victims, he doesn't have insurance.
Right.
And they said his bills are going to be about $2 million.
Yeah, the aspiring comedian that was shot in the eye and his wife just had their child. And it's heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's so upsetting. And I think, you know, it's like, well, they want to have their cake and eat it too. Then, you know, they want the rights, but they don't want the responsibility.
Right.
Yeah.
And they say that the Second Amendment gives them the right. Well, it doesn't say we can't tax them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like Chris Rock's idea.
$5,000 a bullet.
Yes.
Try buying 6,000 rounds on that.
It's like people come around, I'm going to kill you when I can save up the money. You better hope I can't get some bullets on layaway. No.
In the meantime, I'll lasso you.
And then he said if someone did get shot, you'd be like, well, he must have deserved it.
Yeah.
He must have done something. You're going to spend $5,000 a bullet. All right. Good stuff. Oh, and by the way, I have some interesting polling from Frank Luntz on gun. Because everybody thinks this issue's done, you know. There's no more debate on gun control. Interesting stuff.
From right-winger Frank Luntz?
Yes.
Wow.
I'll bring you that next.
Okay.
How about that?
That's a tease.
How about that, mister? All right. 18 minutes.
That takes us out of Japanese sex robot land.
This ain't my first time at the rodeo.
The Japanese sex robot rodeo.
I'm taking control of the wheel of this bus like Sandra Bullock in Speed again. I'm back in control.
All right, about 50 miles an hour.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's her political party, and she'll cry if she wants to. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Kathy in Brooklyn. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kath.
Hey, listen, I had a thought. You know, they want guns. Guns, guns, guns for everybody.
Yep.
And don't they realize that if everybody has guns, all those scary black people and brown people will also have guns?
Oh, no, they'll pass an anti-people with melanin having guns law immediately, I imagine.
they don't realize that they're, you know, they're idiots. They're just idiots.
All right. Thank you.
Well,
Lynn,
then we just need gun owners with Anglo-Saxon heritage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They need to have your Anglo-Saxon ID.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But what if you're Norman French? Then you were fighting against the Anglo-Saxons. And then
you know, I'm tired of every time this comes up, people go, well, it's just over. The gun debate is over. The NRA has won. Everybody just hit the lights and go home. There was a poll conducted in May by Republican pollster Frank Luntz. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about this.
Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Gun-owning Americans, including NRA members, overwhelmingly support a raft of common-sense measures that would typically be described as gun control.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see this anywhere, but you kind of go, is this debate really over? Because a lot of the stuff the president was talking about yesterday seemed like common sense.
The NRA would like us to think it's over. Then the NRA tells us that the debate is over, but it is not over.
Think Progress, the end of the story, they said, one wonders if the views of its supporters will be heard at NRA headquarters as the organization opposes laws that attempt to implement several of the positions that Luntz's poll established gun owner support.
Responsible gun owners don't want lunatics.
Thank you. I mean,
assault rifles.
Isn't there some, you know, what do you call it? I mean, there's some sort of vortex here of mental illness and really high capacity guns that is happening in shooting after shooting. Virginia Tech in the Gabrielle Giffords it's Tucson's shooting in this latest one. These are what he found in this requiring criminal background checks on gun owners and gun shop employees. Again, these numbers are like in the 80s and 70% of NRA owners.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Support that. Prohibiting terrorist watch list members from acquiring guns. Mandating that gun owners tell the police when their gun is stolen. Concealed carry permits should only be restricted to individuals who completed a safety training course and are 21 and older. Concealed carry permits shouldn't be given to perpetrators of violent misdemeanors or individuals arrested for domestic violence. I mean, there's just... It seems like there are all these things that get huge support. And this isn't a Frank Luntz poll. That you know, we still have, you know,
but
the NRA
Wayne
against.
LaPierre
Wayne LaPierre.
There should not be any restrictions at all.
Yeah. No,
Wayne LaPierre is nothing but an extremist.
Yeah, well.
Meanwhile.
He wants.
Speaking of the mental illness aspect of this, did you see this? So, what's his name? Let's not say his name. Let's go.
Yeah, let's not.
The shooter accused in the movie House Massacre mailed a notebook detailing his plans to a psychiatrist at the university before the attack. The package remained unopened in a mailroom at the University of Colorado for as long as a week before its discovery on Monday. A source said inside the package was a notebook full of details on how he was going to kill people. There were drawings of what he was going to do in it, drawings and illustrations of the massacre. I mean, what a tragedy, too. You're going, I don't know how, you know, it didn't show up in time or what. Anyway. All right. Let's do one quick one here. Claire in Virginia. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Claire.
Yes, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Honey.
Good morning.
I called you once before and I had my Bloody Mary in my hand.
Good girl.
And I just had to call you again. I've gotten so worked up. And I'm assuming you said
it. Do you have a drink in your hand now?
I certainly do, honey.
Yes.
Good girl.
Yes,
good girl.
We should have Bloody Marys here
every
morning.
And I'm going to get me a little pearl handle gun just to be part of the right or left or whoever's in party.
There you go.
Following on three things. You know, the people in that mail room need to be fired to start with.
Yeah.
And I want to know who is Grover Norquist and why do we make a pledge to a lobbyist?
Yeah,
exactly.
And third thing is Chick-fil-A. And I want to just know why they are having a war with the Muppets and that I would pay money to see Miss Piggy slap the hell out of Gretchen Carlson.
That'd be great.
We've got to get us some Bloody Marys in here. She's funnier than we are.
Absolutely.
29 minutes after. Mimosa's all around. 29 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is my world, and I'm your rock and roll Sherpa.
Yeah, it's me. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 34 minutes after the hour.
Oxymoronic much?
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, we had Cliff Chenfield on, when was it, a couple of weeks ago? And loved him so. They have, and he was telling us he's going to have this new video out about Reagan, because... You know, how many times did they mention him? I don't know, in the primary.
1 billion times.
1 million times. It uses hard facts to take down the myth that has become Ronald Reagan.
Also Reagan. And as I was saying, Reagan.
This is from Ronald Reagan is not George Washington on the message. Wait a minute. Do we have a link to it?
Yep, themessageis.com. We have a link to it at your Facebook page.
Thank you.
Well, it's been almost 24 years since Ronald Reagan left the White House. So why don't we take some time to revisit the legacy of the Gipper. Everyone thinks that Reagan presided over one of the greatest job booms in U.S. history.
Nope.
Not quite. In actuality, he created 7 million fewer jobs than Bill Clinton did during his presidency. Hmm. So I guess we have to place Ronald Reagan at least one spot below Bubba, right? Given that we hear so much about how awful the debt and deficit are for the future of our country, Reagan must have really gone to work on those problems, right? Sadly, no. During his time in office, Reagan managed to more than double the deficit and put the United States into debt for the first time since 1914.
Boink!
Yep.
Oh, no. Facts. Oh,
Eric Cantor's bitch face has got bitchier.
Cliff Chenfield joins us now. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being had. They had great stuff, as usual. We were just talking about this yesterday, about these numbers. It wasn't, I don't know what the one I heard, but I think he increased the deficit like 190% or something like that. I mean,
That's true.
Well,
yeah.
There I go again.
There he went again.
Well, you know, Stephanie, that's true, and the facts on him are not good, and I'm not that interested in the argument that Reagan, you know, would have been somewhat of a moderate today, because while he's not as crazy as these guys are, the real point of Reagan's record is that the Republicans have spent all this time building him up, basically so they can say that he was so successful by reducing everyone's taxes and cutting regulations and this and that and this great man, and then what they do is they say that, and then they put proposals out that are so incredibly outrageous and destructive, and they say, well, look, we're motivated, we're carrying on the tradition of the great Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan wasn't so great. A lot of very bad things happened during that time, and to the extent that they can get away with that, they use that as a justification for their very extreme policies. So it's important that progressives and Democrats fight back a little bit, because they're basically using Reagan as sort of a, you know, a battering ram to get their points, you know, to justify some really bad stuff.
And Cliff, it seems to me that, you know, in this election year, when the economy is such an issue, the main one is the trickle down didn't work. You know, we just read a quote by Reagan's budget director yesterday about how this version of the Republican Party is just completely divorced from reality economically.
That's right. I mean, David Stockman, I think that's who you're referring to, you know, basically said that they were not really interested in budget, you know, deficit reduction or anything of the sort. What they basically wanted to do was kill anything that was connected to social programs, anything connected to, you know, easing the strain on poor people or whatever it might be, in order to justify, you know, their tax cuts and the like. It wasn't that they thought that was going to reduce the deficit or anything else. So, you know, it was a fraud. And listen, I'm not sitting here and saying that Ronald Reagan did nothing that was good. I'm not interested in sliming anyone. I'm not interested in playing games. Everything that we have in our video is factual and backed up.
Well, I mean,
no one has said one word that's not true in there.
Well, I mean, the one thing, Cliff, that I do think, you know, whether it's Stockman or whoever raises it, is important, is he did raise taxes 11 times. He he was more in touch with economic reality than this version of Republicans. I mean, you know, comparison, Obama has raised the debt only, deficit 45%, as opposed to Ronald Reagan's 190.
Absolutely.
Because, that's right.
Right.
And I think that's a good, listen, I think the point that Reagan's not as crazy as these guys are is a good point. But I also think the point that Reagan was not, you know, the FDR of the late 20th century is also a very important point to make. And I think, by the way, most Democrats won't make that point. One of the things we're trying to do with the message is to say things that Democrats may be a little bit afraid to say, or that Obama and others don't think it's in their political interest to say. Reagan is very popular, and the Obama and the Democrats don't want to go after him because it offends middle-of-the-road people. So somebody needs to at least put the record out there that this guy was not so successful, that there were major problems, there was lots of corruption, there was deregulation that led to the savings and loan crisis, there was trying to get rid of the education department and the environmental protection rules and ketchup as a vegetable for kids.
Yeah.
There was all kinds
and
of
trees,
things.
And trees, don't
happened.
Forget, trees cause pollution.
Trees
That's right.
cause pollution. I don't remember what happened during Iran-Contra. I mean, it's really an amazing record. And no, there were some positive things too, but the overall record is very, very mixed with many negative things. And most importantly, Stephanie, I think he laid the groundwork for a lot of the bad things that happened. You were referring to that earlier. I mean, the trickle-down thing, where we've kind of gone, since he became president, to a country of the 1%, where we've gone to, you know, where we've gone to a situation where we've starved, you know, investment, where we've gone to a situation where we've been less sensitive about the environment. I mean, he started all those things. The financial mess in 2007, 8, 9 was a direct result of the deregulation sorts of things that he put into place in the 80s.
Well, Cliff, let me make a confession before Jim Ward gets to it. I voted for Ronald Reagan.
But you come from a very prominent Republican family.
I was a
family,
dopey college kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, but part of it is that I think a lot of us, and you're right, still felt like, oh, he's a nice guy. When you back then, you know, when you have the prism of time, like your film points out so well, trickle down didn't work. And a lot of Republicans will tell you that now. It's like that's the point, is in, you know, in terms of, you know, first of all, there are some things, you're right, he didn't do everything wrong. I mean, look at the amnesty. You would not even make it to a Republican primary. He was more practical about, you know, illegal immigration than this
party is today. He absolutely was. Like I said, I think he gets credit for doing some things. But he set into place, I think he set into place the Republican spin machine in which they would pursue policies that basically benefited only the very wealthy and large corporations and put them in a tone or a context that got many middle Americans to believe that they were going to benefit them as well. Right. So all of a sudden, you had people in Mississippi thinking that the, quote, death tax was going to affect them and supporting that, which really only would benefit a handful of families, because the, you know, Reagan and the Republicans in the 1980s began to somehow, in a very, very smart and impressive way, convince middle Americans that tax breaks and deregulation and all those things for very wealthy Americans would somehow benefit them.
Right.
And that continues to this day. And one of the things that we are really trying to do, and that I hope we can do, is to break this idea that the Republicans have been able to get away with of sort of combining what's good for the rich people, what's good for the super PACs that are funding them, and what's good for average people.
And I think you're right. The economics is the crux of it, Cliff. But, you know, you can't help but imagine Reagan. Plop Reagan into the middle of a Republican primary debate this year and have him say what he said about zero nukes, that he wanted zero nukes in the war. Have him say some of the complimentary things he said about unions. Despite, you know, what he did with the air traffic control. You know what I'm saying? It's just there's gotten to be such a
there's definitely selective memory on that. There's no question about that.
Yeah, but I think
the broader trends, I think, Stephanie, though, I think the broader trends are big, though. And the hostility to the environment, his whole policy on AIDS or lack of policy on AIDS, you know, the intolerance. You know, he did a lot of very questionable stuff on the race thing. He played the race card in a subtle way, but played it a lot. You know, there was a lot of things that happened there that set a tone that that continues today, that set policies that continue today, and you got to hold him responsible for that. You can't, you know, and to the extent that he's responsible for that, and this is again why it's important that we do this. This is not about historical revisionism. It's important because the Republicans use his words and his actions to justify their extreme things. And because when, as I think I mentioned to you the last time I spoke to you, you know, now it's into the debate where you can't even challenge it. I told you Grover Norquist on Bill Maher a few weeks ago and talks about Reagan, and Maher says, well, of course Reagan was fine, but let's talk about today. I mean, it's like,
well,
it's a given now.
And you have people today going, oh, this Obama administration is so corrupt, based on nothing. When you point out, like, a lot of people don't realize that he had over 100 of his administration officials investigated and prosecuted.
Yep.
He had a remarkably corrupt administration. What are we, almost 4 years into the Obama administration, and we have, I mean, can you even name a scandal? I mean, what do we got? The gun thing in Mexico? That's what the Fast and Furious? That's our scandal.
Started under George Bush.
You know, let's go with Meese and James Watt and Oliver North, and, you know, and off we go. I mean, we're talking about guys who were, who were in trouble constantly, many of whom were indicted and convicted, and it was a constant theme.
Yeah.
Constant. And how many people who think that Reagan, you know, is this great man even know about that?
Well,
they don't know about the corruption that occurred there.
And don't forget the October surprise.
Yeah, well, and you know, Cliff, but I think, again, it really is important in this year of the 99% and the 1% and Romney being their nominee, that is, to me, is the main thing, is that trickle, many, many economists that were on the right back then have said it didn't work. It didn't work. And that's the same thing they're selling this year, aren't they?
That's correct. And one of the things that we do on our video, the thing that you played the first time through, listen, Bill Clinton had a remarkably better economic record than Ronald Reagan from every measurable standard, right? So the Republicans, however, say that the way to economic, salvation is through Reagan's combination of, you know, tax cuts, deregulation, trickle-down economics and the like. No one, you know, did people know that Bill Clinton's policy, which included deficit reduction, a slightly higher marginal tax rates for wealthy people, investment in infrastructure and the like, created a much better economic system. So you have to put out there the truth, which is that Reagan's policies were not as successful as Clinton's policies were.
Right.
And the idea that we have to kind of now follow Reagan's policies, that if Obama tries to do anything that's proactive, he's getting in the way of what actually worked, which was Ronald Reagan's no government, no taxes policy, you have to counter that. I mean, Clinton had probably the best economic record of the 20th century.
Right.
And he did
right.
not do that by starving the government. He did not do that by letting wealthy people get away with paying no taxes.
Right.
He didn't do that by not regulating the environment. It's just, you know, you have to balance this.
Yeah. I mean, and Cliff, I think you make the points so well that, you know, for instance, I mean, we have in the most recent example is George W. Bush. As we know, policies that did not work that caused
right.
caused where we got. I mean, one of the debates I'm sure many people have, we've had in our family, what my dad died in 83, what he would think. You know,
mm-hmm.
what would Goldwater think? You know, I do know what Goldwater said on the 80, on the Senate floor in the 80s. It was,
moderate.
Yeah, I mean, but very negative toward yeah. that version of the Republican Party. So, you know, it's hard to speculate, but you have to go, it's over the prism of time that we've seen these economic policies hadn't worked. So it's hard to say what Reagan would think today.
Right.
If Reagan mm-hmm. were alive, right?
Exactly. No, I think you're right. Listen, that's an important point. There's no question about that. But remember, I don't want to debate this with you because I think they're both points, but the more pervasive issue is the very destructive policies that they are pursuing based on the idea of who he is and how great he was.
Yeah.
And to the extent that's more dangerous, I think, to us than making the argument that, you know, by countering the argument that he was actually more moderate than they were. Because
right.
then it's, okay, well, fine. But on this thing, they're using him to justify the most extreme radical positions.
And let's put this
and
we're almost out of time, Cliff, but I think let's
okay.
put this in the prism of all of this arguing, all that there is going on right now on the House and Senate floor, tax rates were higher under Reagan, right, than what we're talking about now.
They were higher under Reagan. There's no question about that. You know, the thing that's remarkable, and I know it's remarkable to all of you, how did we just go through 7 or 8 years of somebody pursuing close to identical policies, get the result we have, and then have these guys all walk around acting like that works and that Reagan set the table for this great situation?
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
good point.
Somehow President Obama is a socialist with tax rates lower than Ronald Reagan's.
Well, and he's also this big, he's also going to take away all of our guns because he's been so aggressive on that.
Yeah.
Right.
So. All right.
There's that.
Cliff Chenfeld with great stuff. We have a link up
on your Facebook page and at StephanieMiller.com
to watch the great new video, Ronald Reagan is Not George Washington.
Yep.
Cliff, thanks so much. We'll see you again real soon.
Great to talk to you all. Thanks a bunch.
All right. Thank you, sir. There he goes.
Yep.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, a freak show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Steffi. It's a fact, Steffi.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. You played this because why?
Because Jackie Shetner tweeted, "Dear Mom, if my old baton twirling photos ever see the light of day, I'm not coming home for the holidays."
Oh, fine. That's what we're doing. That's how it rolls. Okay, fine. We're going to DEF CON 2. Fine. All right.
Bringing on that guilt.
Uh-huh. 1-800-STEPH-1. Listen.
What?
You know what? Jews are born with it. Catholics have to go to school to learn.
There you go.
Either way, whatever's happening, whatever Mishigoth is happening, the whole Shechner Mishpuka, I don't care. I just want those pictures.
And Protestants, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, they're just messed up anyway.
Yes.
Speaking of which,
the conservative British newspaper The Telegraph had this commentary on Mitt Romney's visit to England.
Mm.
"If Mitt Romney doesn't like us, we shouldn't care. Mitt Romney is perhaps the only politician who could start a trip that was supposed to be a charm offensive by being utterly devoid of charm and mildly offensive."
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank
and that's from The Telegraph, not The Guardian.
Thank you. Funniest thing since James Lipton tried to teach him how to act human.
Yeah.
"You're dead in the eyes," he said. It's...
Yes, the eyes don't work.
The eyes
don't match the...
The eyes don't match the soul.
The mouth. Yeah, they...
There's something wrong there.
Annie in Lexington, you're
on...
If
you were a tree, would you be the right height?
Hey, Annie, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I'm just calling. They bugged Obama for his birth certificate.
Yes.
So why don't they make Mitt Romney give up his taxes?
Thank you very much. Thank you. And what about that? Ah, you thought we forgot about that, didn't you, Mittens? We're watching you. All right. Yeah, by the way, what we were just talking to Cliff Chenfield about, 40 economists, including, this is a nonpartisan thing, say the GOP has abandoned economic reality.
Yeah.
This is exactly what we were just talking about. A survey of 40 economists from across the ideological and partisan spectrum has concluded that on one of its some of its most cherished issues, the Republican Party has simply taken leave of economic reality. One of the results of the survey is the overwhelming agreement that the 2009 Recovery Act, i.e. stimulus, the stimulus, I said it, brought down unemployment. But GOP leaders, of course, have spent years roundly denouncing the stimulus as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Economists do not agree across the
spectrum. What do they know about the economy?
Here are some other fun facts from the survey. Would you like to hear them? The nation, contrary to nearly every Republican, the economists overwhelmingly agreed the federal budget deficit cannot and should not be closed without increased tax revenue, which is why Reagan raised taxes 11 times, because he was more in touch with economic reality, as we just said, than this version of the Republican Party. They roundly rejected the relief that a return to the gold standard would stabilize prices or lower unemployment, which has become popular in Republican circles. Virtually all of them rejected the notion that cutting income taxes would actually increase total tax revenue in future years. That it just makes no sense. Yeah. The laffer curve or whatever.
The laffer curve. That's rich.
Yeah, okay.
I've always maintained
not
that,
that curve.
I've always maintained that conservative and libertarian principles sound quite attractive on paper.
Yeah.
However, when you apply them to real life, it just falls apart horribly.
They're potheads.
Yes.
Okay, which is fine.
So anyway, I think, you know, if you like, if you didn't get rich dudes to like pay taxes, and they're like, I forget what
Janice in Atlanta. Yeah, their ideas doesn't make sense when you're really hot.
Hi, yes.
Janice in Atlanta. Hello, Janice.
Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Listen, I wanted to go back to that comment that Romney made saying that Americans would have to change their hearts for massacres and these types of killings that happened in Colorado to stop, or new laws or tougher laws wouldn't eradicate or totally eliminate these types of killings.
Right.
So you shouldn't even try.
No, you shouldn't even try anything.
Yeah. But the thing is, what I'm saying is that's absolutely ridiculous, because we know that it's not going to completely stop. And trust me, I'm not equating what happened in Colorado or anywhere else in this country to voter fraud, because my condolences go out to those people. That's very serious and horrific.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I am saying is that if they are putting these laws into place to, as they say, eliminate voter fraud, why can't they put laws into place that will eliminate, well, at least slow down sick people or criminals from getting guns?
Right. Well, this is what I mean. I mean, I don't know if you heard Charlie Crist's comments about, you know, the voter suppression going on in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you cannot be reasonable and say anything that speaks to basic fairness in the Republican Party today, or you're out. And that's why Charlie Crist is out. I mean, we'll get to that next hour. But yeah, that's
I don't think he was ever much of a Republican anyway.
No.
He just said things to get
he
elected.
Should run for Congress as a Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a libertarian idea there. Everybody can take bath salts and get high and have shoulder rocket launchers and eat people's faces naked. And why should there be any rules or regulation of any kind? Okay.
Rules are for wussies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, I know what you want to say. Deb in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hey there, love.
Hello.
Me and my husband just adore you and the Moop.
Thank you.
And we tape you, and on the weekends we have three or four. I often watch you live and try to get in and all that stuff, but my husband just loves it when we put you on, you know, after the ball game or something. Sometimes we'll put you on and just walk around the house doing stuff and listen to you guys and laugh. Anyway, and you know you get the best information. But the reason I called is actually, you know, we also realize that when we go out, there's always some dill hole in the corner.
Okay, wait, we've got to hear that story up to the break.
Dill
minutes,
hole?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, the big show at the Pantages, the big L.A. party.
Yes.
Party in L.A. This Saturday night. We have to, thanks to Bill Handel. Right there, over in the next studio.
Yep.
The big right-wing host. My friend, my buddy, my pal, he will be there with his sensei. Waxing on and waxing off. Something.
Yeah, big fan of the show.
Yes, and he's this is his plug yesterday.
This Saturday, Stephanie Miller, Miss Liberal over there,
yep,
K-Talk, is doing one of her shows, which I'm going to attend, and I'm having a great time. It's at the Pantages Theater. There are very limited tickets, but this is the enemy talking. And she is hugely entertaining, and I'm going to be there. And for those of you who want to know what the enemy says, mm-hmm, in comedic form, and she is hilarious, by the way, mm-hmm, and a group of very liberal comedians with her, this is fun stuff. You know, this is going to the other side. This is actually going to the dark side and watching Voldemort on stage.
Thank you, Bill. Come see Voldemort. There are very few tickets left, yeah, thanks to Bill Handel, who sent that on his 50,000-watt power blaster over there. All right, so we will see you Saturday night for the big party. I sent him a nice thank you note saying, love, Voldemort.
No.
Yes. All right.
Do you know who Voldemort is?
Yes, he's the evil character in the movie.
Book.
Look, Wayne Powell's here.
Series of books.
Harry Potter.
Yes, I knew that.
Okay.
Right.
Played
he's a villain.
Played by Ralph Fiennes in the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Ralph Fiennes?
Yes.
I think it was Ralph Fiennes.
I don't think
no?
so.
Maybe not.
Well,
all right.
Maybe you're, I don't know.
All right.
I didn't see all of them. I saw
all
the
right.
first movie. Anyway.
Kids, we talked to Colonel Wayne Powell by accident one day because we were talking about how awesome he is, and he called in.
Yeah.
He is running against Eric Cantor, and we talked to Mudcat Saunders,
right,
who's going to be our new regular.
On Thursdays?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is running his campaign, and Colonel Powell joins us now. Good morning, Wayne. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. You know what? We had such a great time with Mudcat last week. And
then
literally every week we have someone that is singing your praises. Madeline Stowe was on the week before.
Yes.
Oh, that's right. I did hear her. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did the Tomato Festival go? That was my main concern.
It went great. I think there were hundreds of people there. Of course, I pretended like they were there to see me, but I know they were there to see Madeline. She's such a wonderful person.
I know.
And so real. And, you know, unfortunately, in our society, so-called celebrities are made these kind of just paper mache images of who they are, but she's a real person and a real very deep person, and she's done great work down in Haiti. And I even saw one of the videos that had been shot about the peace and justice school that they've built down there, and Father Rick, who's one of the activist priests who's been working down there for 25 years, and you know, she's the real deal. She doesn't
yep.
walk, she doesn't talk the talk, she walks the walk, and people like that we need more of in this country.
I'm telling you, I love when you know, on Fox News, our friends over there always say, oh, stupid celebrities, who cares what they think, and then they ask, you know, Ted Nugent or Charlie Daniels what they think about
yeah.
that. But
right.
we were saying that, you know, Wayne, she is so smart, and she really knows the issues,
absolutely.
And she is so passionate about your candidacy. I mean, she's not somebody that's just using her beauty or her celebrity. She really knows the issues.
I'm very flattered, and she's a real great person.
Yeah. So, Wayne, we've been saying that it is amazing for, you know, Eric Cantor being obviously in the Republican leadership, polling showing he's surprisingly vulnerable down there in Virginia, and you know, people all around just think you're a terrific candidate.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And I think he's done something most recently that reflects why he's so unpopular. And now we find out that he has carved out a spousal and children's exceptions to the Stock Act, which he, of course, applauded last spring as the effort to get transparency in government so that government people couldn't engage in insider trading without having some penalty. So what does he do? His wife, who's a stock trader, gets exempted from the provisions of the Stock Act.
Wow.
So she can do whatever she wants and nobody has to report it. And then he first claims that it didn't happen. Then finally, when CNN, and I have to give credit to CNN and their investigative reporting, when they proved that his office took that or made that exemption. I mean, who is he? Who does he think he is? Does he think the people don't find these things out ultimately? I mean, it's allowing for things which would put you and me in prison happen for congressmen and their spouses. And he needs to change it now. He won't, but he needs to change it now and make sure those folks are included in the provisions which would preclude insider trading based on congressional factual information.
Yeah, and Wayne, I mean, it seems like it's just one story after another. It's just more and more crystallizing. This election is about, you know, the 99% and the 1%. Look at this tax fight going on. You know, here they are. Eric Cantor and his friends are pushing us toward this fiscal cliff again by having to,
exactly.
you know, having to just ferociously protect the top 1% at the expense of the 99, right?
Exactly. And does anybody on the Republican side even mention Citizens United? I mean, everyone should be united, and to coin a phrase,
in
their opposition to the results of that opinion, which basically says that all this corporate money can just be unlimited in elections. And what does that mean? That means that people are going to continue to buy, these corporations are going to continue to buy elections, and there needs to be a constitutional amendment which says that corporations are not natural persons.
Yep.
And because they're not, everybody knows they're not. However, this is how far our country has gone towards people just being able to purchase elections, and I think it's totally wrong. And the people have to stand up and vote their conscience.
Yep. Yeah. Wayne, here's the president breaking down this fight going on in Congress.
98% of American families won't see their income taxes go up at all. But the other 2% of Americans will have to pay a little more on taxes on anything they make over $250,000.
I mean, so obviously what just happened, Democrats pushed a year-long extension of tax cuts for all but the highest-earning Americans through the Senate yesterday, right?
It's very logical, yes.
Right. They had killed a Republican package that would have included, you know, the top 1%. So, and here we go into the Eric Cantor-led House, right? So
here we go again.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing. And I think that the American people need to kick these people out of Congress, including Eric Cantor, who want this income disparity. I mean, I was listening to, I think it was an economist, Dr. Stiglitz, who is a Nobel recipient of the Economy Prize on the Daily Show last night, and he made it very clear that we are, statistically speaking, the most disparity of any country in the world is in our country. I mean, people have to realize it before we do fall off that cliff, and next time it'll be a depression, next time there'll be food lines. I mean, everybody knows that the middle class is the backbone of this country. The middle class, of course, people define it differently, but these are the people who create the demand, who are the consumers, who buy the houses, who fight the wars. And these are the people that we're completely ignoring. And now we have these veterans coming back. We're going to have this large bubble of veterans. 12% of the veterans are unemployed, and that's a fact. And there's a large percentage of the homeless. And what are the VA people doing? As much as they can. But guess who's cutting off their money? Eric Cantor and the Republicans. I mean, this is a pervasive problem. It's not just middle class, although that's the biggest problem, because we're teetering on the edge of a double dip recession, maybe a depression. And this is because of those kinds of attitudes that nobody needs to share. There's no sacrifice that needs to be shared by people, and that's totally wrong.
Yep. Well, and, you know, here's the reason, in my mind, that we need the Wayne Powells of the world in and the Eric Cantors of the world out is, this vote they just had in the Senate is a counterpoint to the GOP-run House, which next week will approve tax cuts nearly identical to the Republican bill in the Senate, which, of course, only benefits the top 1%. The president said with the Senate votes, the House Republicans are now the only people left in Washington holding hostage the middle class tax cuts for 98% of Americans and nearly every small business owner. I mean, this time the politics are pretty clear on this, aren't they?
They ought to be. I mean, I know that a lot of people, as they call it, appeal to especially the other networks that deal with the reptile brain, if you will, mm-hmm. about something about the job creators. We don't want to cut taxes or increase taxes on the job creators. Well, let me tell you something. From what I can tell, Mitt Romney has not created any jobs, and by paying 13.9% in taxes last year while earning $22 million. I mean, this is absurd. This is absurd. Just because you do what's legal doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, well,
and I think that people need to do what's right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Wayne, you've challenged Eric Cantor to debate several times. He still has not agreed to any debates, has he?
Well, no, not. We sent a letter out 2 weeks ago because he did meet me up in Spotsylvania. There was an event up there, which is part of the 7th District, and he agreed to sit down with me and talk about some things. And so I sent a letter to his campaign staff, and I proposed a format which would be the two of us on the stage entertaining questions from the people at the constituents here in the 7th District. He has never debated any opponent. Every other person running for Congress, as far as I know, in the state of Virginia has agreed to debate, and this is going to become a big issue. And actually, this time when he agreed to it, and of course she is going to back down. It was filmed because I had my wife take out our telephone that has some video capacity and said, you know, film this. And so I've got it on tape. And if he doesn't agree to it, I'm going to put the tape out and let the media judge for themselves. Is this man, is he truthful? Does he lie? Is he a coward? And do people here in the state, which is a mother of seven presidents, do they want a coward as their representative in the 7th District and a man that will not follow and do what he says,
you know what?
And give his word?
It strikes me as the same kind of arrogance that the Romney camp is showing. Like, no, we don't have to release anything about my Bain career, my taxes, my time as governor of Massachusetts at the Olympics. I mean, it's just arrogance, isn't it?
Well, I would debate
exactly.
you.
I will release my taxes for the last 4 years since 2008, and I'll tell you that right now on your show, I'll release my taxes if Eric Cantor releases his.
My God.
Yeah, that will
happen. Yeah, they're all for transparency.
You know, I would debate you, but I'd really F up my weekend in Montauk.
All right. Wayne Powell running the race of all races in Virginia against Eric Cantor. Wayne, I hope to talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Oh, you will. Take care. Have a great day.
All right. There he goes, Colonel Wayne Powell.
Oh, he's awesome. I want him as my congressman.
Yeah, hello. Eric Cantor,
clone him.
By the way, who he was talking about cutting funding for vets. Didn't serve. Didn't serve. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
There you go.
Yeah. Just saying. 17 minutes.
What is a rust belt?
17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Phone number toll free from anywhere. Eileen in Ohio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Eileen.
Hey, I love you.
I love
Jim
you.
Jim and Chris, you guys have kept me sane.
Thank
I want to talk about the staff, about Holmes' diary. I'm a theater professor. I'm so proud of you, Stephanie.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. From playing Blanche's nurse in Streetcar Named Desire at the Edinburgh Theater Festival. All of this.
Anyway, I want to speak up for the staff. People are implying that they were negligent. And from what I understand, that Holmes didn't drop off that diary until July 27th. Well, we're not there, okay?
Right.
That, which is why the staff may have been holding the psychiatrist's mail, because we get a lot of mail.
Yeah.
Also, the implication that this psychiatrist was treating him, he might not have even known
right.
who this person was.
I don't think anyone said that yet.
Well, that's what I want people to think about, because what I'm hearing is people are saying that the mail workers are at fault.
Yeah.
If he had gotten the diary in time, perhaps it would have prevented the tragedy.
Right.
So I'm speaking up for the people that support me
mm-hmm.
and letting people know a little bit about the culture in higher education.
Yeah.
Evidently, this psychiatrist may be off on research. He may be out of the country.
Yeah.
And since he was with the neuroscience department in the grad school, he probably did not even know who Holmes was.
Right.
Were,
and, well, you're right.
Just a ploy.
And Eileen, we should have the facts before we jump to any conclusions. You're right.
Right.
There's nobody said yet that he was treating him or whatever. It could have been just a random psychiatrist. But we don't know yet. So, all right. By the way, as we've said one thing ever in our life. What is it? B-Box rocks. Senator Barbara Boxer from the great state of California. She always just puts it this whole the tax debate.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the way she put it.
Are you fighting for the people who make $1 billion a year? That's who the Republicans fight for. They get so emotional about it. Or are you fighting for the middle class? The heart and soul of America.
Yeah, exactly. Where's our Barbara Boxer fight montage? That's, you know what, if you want to fight, don't start it with Barbara Boxer, right? Fighting for the top.
I guess he wants a fight. If that's where we're going, that's where we're going.
All right. Yeah, I just, they get so emotional about the top 1%.
I love her. So glad she's my senator.
John Sununu, Romney surrogate.
He condemned success. He wanted the business people
and his constituencies to
think that all business success should be shared with everyone, that there's nothing individual about it. That's denying the American dream.
Wow.
Noted Cuban-born Palestinian John Sununu?
Yes. Noted non-Anglo-Saxon John Sununu?
John Hussein Sununu.
I'm sorry.
Fidel Hussein Sununu.
They just keep deliberately misstating what they know the president said.
He doesn't
said.
Believe in capitalism.
Oh, look at Mitch McLipolis trying to bring this into the tax debate.
You're looking for the legislative equivalent of the president's now famous view that you didn't bill that. This is it.
Oh, that's a good one. God, how can you say that with no lips?
Wow, here's another one. Wheel of
right-wing
hypocrites! So, a top foreign policy advisor to Romney told the National Journal that funding for social programs should be cut in order to stave off the looming military spending sequester.
What?
While Romney often says the government doesn't create jobs, Romney, the advisor admitted that more government spending will lead to more jobs, claimed investing in the military will generate more employment. So, which is it? That's government spending. That's going to create jobs, but
that's
stimulus.
That's the most government spending we do is on the military.
And by the way, this just in a study released late last year by the University of Massachusetts found that non-military spending can create more jobs than money going to defense programs. Huh. Averaged between the three domestic spending priorities of clean energy, health care, and education, those areas create about twice as many jobs per dollar spent as military expenditures, according to the study.
Clearly, math has a liberal bias.
Exactly. Shirley in Philadelphia. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
The lady from Atlanta took part of my idea. We have a strange law here in Pennsylvania we've been dying to get passed, except for Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. No one else wants it. But our law is that you can only buy one assault weapon a month. That's all. Just one a month. So I guess there's a lot of people here that need more than 12 a year to shoot the deer or whatever the hell they shoot.
Sure.
But I think...
Don't you love that that's the bar now? Even that's too unreasonable that you can only buy one assault... Yeah, AK-47
a
month.
And we can't get it passed because in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, the rest of Pennsylvania might as well be, you know, like Mississippi or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not saying anything bad about people in Mississippi. But anyway, the bottom line is we are on the news right now because we have this stupid right-to-vote law going down. And I think that they ought to, you know, just make our ability to buy guns the same as our ability to vote, because I'm not worried about anyone shooting me at the polls.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, I was saying, the second you start talking sense in the Republican Party, said, you're out.
Yep.
Charlie Crist, you're out. He on Wednesday criticized his successor, Governor Rick Scott, and other Republicans for using shameless tactics that suppress voting rights, including requiring photo IDs, preventing felons from voting, and purging voter rolls. If you're just for basic fairness and letting, you know, people vote, that's...
People who are eligible to vote,
He said the concern is really sort of closing the door on democracy. He said, for example, they've already changed the policy as it relates to former nonviolent felons. We'd established a policy where they have their rights automatically restored, giving them the opportunity to vote once they've served their time and paid their debts to society. That's now been changed under the new administration. In addition, they've also said that early voting, which is a great tradition in Florida, has been reduced from a 14-day period before the elections to 8 days before, making it again more difficult for legal citizens to have their right to vote be heard. Andrew Mitchell noted that Eric Holder had recently compared voter ID laws to Jim Crow laws. Mm-hmm. Is saying they're the equivalent of poll taxes. The former governor said he's on the right track. Anytime that you put more impediments into a legal citizen's right to vote and make that more difficult, you impede the natural right of democracy and the citizen's right to have their voice heard in important elections. It's just plain wrong. And I guess that has, you can only say that when you're already out of the Republican Party today, that, you know, we should try to keep basic fairness.
I think Charlie Crist should come out as a Democrat.
Excuse me? 29 minutes after...
What?
After the hour.
The exceedingly neat and tan former bachelor governor of Florida.
What are you insinuating?
We'll be right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well,
Stephanie Miller.
We could get hammered.
Oh, it's too early for me, but you go ahead.
It's not too early for us.
No.
What's our friend who calls with the...
From Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh.
With the Bloody Mary in her hand.
Every time she calls, she has
better
Bloody
Mary. Better singers than we got.
Absolutely.
Bloody Marys for everybody. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, by the way, it's Sexy Liver weekend, so it's already like prom weekend. Rowan will be here tomorrow. We'll start drinking early. It's like prom weekend. We're Sexy Liberaling all weekend long, everybody. And a few tickets remain for the Pantages. That is Saturday night.
Yep.
Sightlines, acoustics, fabulous. Don't be afraid to get single scattered seats. Get it, go. Oh,
can you bring Roland in tomorrow?
Oh, that'd be a good idea. No, wait, what's today? No, he's
next
coming
Thursday.
In tomorrow.
Oh, he's coming in
coming
tomorrow.
Coming in tomorrow,
okay, shoot.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. Just thought people would like to see him hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah, he's staying with me so he can be tense at my house. So I can. Watch.
Yeah, your house isn't tense at all.
Maybe we should have Bloody Marys tomorrow and or mimosas.
I think we should. It's Sexy Liver weekend.
Yeah.
It's prom weekend. All right. Kathy writes, Steph, you guys are right. Whenever I see Romney being candid, I can't help think of Jeff Bridges in Starman. Is it my imagination or did the alien have more human-like mannerisms than the Rombot? I think so. Oh,
someone tweeted and said that that Romney reminds them of the mayor in Westworld.
Mm.
Or possibly Jeff Bridges in Starman.
No. Or possibly John Travolta in, what was that one? Phenomenon? Whatever, whoever he plays the... Not the massage thing. Something else. No, that movie where he plays a... Michael? No, and something.
He's an angel there.
All right, that's different. All right, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Chick-fil-A. Is there no low you will not go to? Have they been on Facebook pretending to be a teenage girl?
They have.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Who brings us this story? Chick-fil-A, home of chicken-loving bigots, is in the middle of a PR nightmare. So the Muppets left them for being, you know, anti-gay.
That's right.
And they pulled their toys from Chick-fil-A's kids.
Chick-fil-A. Why do you keep doing that?
Chick-fil-A.
Are you
dyslexic? I'm not from the South. I've never seen... I don't know what these things are.
There's one in Hollywood, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going
right
there.
Right in Sunset and...
Not
Island.
Going there.
Yeah.
Nope. Anyway, so...
Can I get the gay chicken burger?
I'll be In-N-Out, got in the animal style.
Yeah. In-N-Out is just one block away from
Yeah, right?
From
so why
Chick-fil-A.
Am I going to the chicken-loving bigots? I'm not.
No. Chickets.
Right. Okay, so Chick, you might want to load the liar cam.
All right.
You know what? I'm just going with Chick-fil-A because it's the nail pronunciation.
All right, go for it.
They claim the toys were pulled because of a possible safety issue.
You're
oh.
a liar, honey. A dirty, rotten liar.
That's right.
Safety issue.
That, of course, is a complete lie. A lie that the company may be propagating with fake Facebook accounts of Chick-fil-A sympathizers who apparently this fake teenage girl.
Yeah.
Whatever.
All right.
Oh, you're a liar. Yeah. You're just a liar. You always were.
Yeah, they're probably having safety issues with the Muppet toys, so they had to pull those.
I think the sign actually said that children can get their fingers stuck in the holes. In the sign.
Interesting. Interesting. Is that
that
anti-gay code?
That, wow. I don't know what that
don't
is,
let
but
your
that was
children
on...
get their fingers stuck in the wrong holes.
If you know what I'm saying.
That's what the sign
see
said.
See where I'm going
okay.
with this.
Yeah.
All right. Katie in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Katie.
Hello. I'm so glad I finally got through.
Me too.
I love you guys. Chris, your laugh makes me laugh. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if you guys remember, I'm the one who almost called my son a douche nozzle.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes, yes, yes. So he enjoyed
speaking of bad parents.
I know, you know, but I was calling because this redistributor in chief thing that they keep talking about Obama, it makes me nuts because, you know, I work at school. I'm a public servant. That money goes places. Those kids, I work in a needy community, and that money is a good thing. You know, we want our kids to be educated. The
right.
other week I went to a water park with my son and there was a field trip for an organization that takes care of adults with severe and profound disabilities. And you know, they went to the water park and these people were having a great time and obviously being taken care of and I looked at that and I said, that's what my taxpayer money is going for. And if that's what it's going for, I'm glad to pay it. And I think we need to reclaim what taxes are for and start showing people and really explaining, just like you guys are reclaiming the word liberal is not being a dirty word, but a great word.
A sexy word.
A good
in a good
thing.
Way.
It's a
dirty
word.
In a good
Absolutely.
Way. Yeah. Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And, It just makes me sick when they're like, oh, well, taxes are terrible. No, they help people, because otherwise, you know, these people would be on the streets and not taken care of. And
that's
our responsibility socially to take care of each other. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you. Good girl. You're the smartest girl in class. Looky here.
What?
Oh, you know, we're going to have Jackie Schechner's Healthcare Corner, I think, as a feature.
We are.
Coming up. I don't know, maybe starting next week with well-known healthcare advocate Majorette. Newswoman, baton twirler, Jackie Schechner. I should have saved the story, but Obama has saved seniors $4 billion on prescription drugs.
Wow. You say that like it's a good thing.
Okay, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services released data showing over 5.2 million seniors and people with disabilities have already saved $4 billion on prescription drugs as a direct result of the Affordable Care Act.
But how does that make Mitt Romney richer?
The data also showed over 1 million people with Medicare saved an average of $629 on prescription in the donut hole coverage gap since the beginning of the year.
These are donuts.
Over the next
chocolatey,
or as Mitt Romney would call it, that chocolatey goodness hole. Thing. Over the next few years, the government will cover more and more brand name and generic drugs until a donut hole is closed in 2020.
Your donut hole.
Right. I'll shut my pie hole about the donut hole.
Yeah, exactly.
What do I know? All right. Joe Biden hit the Romney campaign over those comments in the UK paper. He chastised Romney over comments published by a British newspaper attributed to a Romney foreign policy advisor. What, the president's not Anglo-Saxon? No, doesn't understand. He's black. That's what they said.
Yeah. Pretty much.
The comments reported...
I haven't noticed he's black.
The comments reported this morning are a disturbing start to a trip designed to demonstrate Governor Romney's readiness to represent the United States on the world stage. Not surprisingly, this is just another feeble attempt by the Romney camp to score political points at the expense of this critical partnership. The assertion is beneath a presidential campaign.
Right.
The story quoted an anonymous member, and they stand by the story, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Romney camp is just saying it's not true. Which part isn't true, then?
Well, Romney said to Brian Williams last night that he doesn't agree with this particular...
This fictional person that didn't say this, that it didn't happen, but the paper stands by it.
But he acknowledged that the statement did exist, but he doesn't agree with it.
Oh. So when they said it's not true, it actually
is true.
Okay.
So they had to sketch that one.
Even the part about saying that was a lie was a lie.
It was a lie.
Is what you're saying.
It was a true lie.
You're a lying sack of crap.
All right.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking,
if you're
going to
claim Anglo-Saxon heritage, you should also claim Danish, Norman, French, Celtic, and Roman heritage.
By the way, the Telegraph, which stands by the piece, told Talking Points memo the paper has not received a request from the Romney camp to retract or correct the story.
Yeah.
Funny that. Curious.
It seems like an admission of something.
An admission.
Hey.
Look over there.
Yeah.
Shiny keys.
That's what it is.
Shiny keys. Okay. All right. Speaking of fact checkers, I think I mentioned this earlier. Case not closed on Romney's departure from Bain.
Yeah.
He demanded. Didn't he demand in a lectern pounding that he wants more transparency from this?
He did.
It's time for full disclosure from the Obama administration on something.
Everything.
Yeah, but not for Romney.
Meanwhile, yes, full disclosure on his records from Massachusetts when he was governor. Bye-bye. Gone.
Yep.
Records from when he ran the Olympics. Bye-bye. Taxes. No. Bye-bye.
Poof.
Bye-bye.
That's why they're shredders.
Bain Capital. Minutes to the meetings. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That sounds like they needed carbonite
Buh-bye.
To save all of that.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he just has not typed Stephanie in the box.
There you go.
Full disclosure. Oh, there's nothing there.
Oh, darn it. Wish I'd listened to Stephanie Miller.
Darn it all. Well, we know he didn't spill Chardonnay on his computer.
Just saying facts.
Yeah.
Fact checkers have not stopped probing.
224-year-old cognac or whatever it was.
When exactly Romney cut ties with Bain, they continue to find evidence that the departure Romney claims took place in 1999. Not so much. The Associated Press offered new evidence yesterday contradicting Romney's claim he had no role whatsoever at Bain once he left to run. Further review of SEC and Bain documents by the AP, interviews with Bain associates and experts reveal more interactions and raise new questions about whether a clean break from the company was even possible. According to several former Romney associates, the Republican made several trips back to Boston while running the Olympics to meet with his former partners.
Going back to Boston.
He's on tape as saying, I don't remember even one trip. I was here 3 years solid.
So he's lying retroactively.
I couldn't afford plane fare back. I was stuck there for 3 years. You have to plan in advance. If you want to buy a ticket to Boston, that was not possible.
Could have cost me thousands of dollars.
And I don't think they had go-to-meeting back then.
No! There you go. He may blame this whole thing on me. I had not told him about Carbonite or go to meeting.
I just got two Stephanie Miller Show sponsors in this segment.
And why do you need to get so many sponsor mentions in? Because Bain Capital nearly wrecked this company.
There you
with
go.
Debt. And now we have salespeople that have to scurry like hamsters on wheels.
They're literally on wheels. In
yeah,
cages.
They are. Because we don't have money for electricity either. So they're running on the wheels to generate the electricity.
Rebecca's out there in a miner's helmet some mornings. There's no light.
Oh, we got plenty of light in here.
Yes,
we
have too much light in here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay, one former senior Bain partner said that Romney had accepted, once he accepted the Olympics position, he would make suggestions but not decisions. Which I said earlier, I am going to try to get that gig here. I'm going to try to retroactively retire, sit at home and drink wine, watch you guys, and I'll dial in on the bat phone every now and again to offer suggestions.
It's Commissioner Gordon.
Chris, you got suck any more fart jokes? That's it. I'll just hang up and I'll pass out on the chaise lounge, and then I'll get my where's my paycheck. Yeah, the former partner added Romney's extensive partnership stakes required him to respond to and at times approve a succession of ownership documents stemming from the company's continuing investment deals. That sounds like work to me.
Yeah, a little bit.
The AP also uncovered Romney's personal signature at least 10 times on large stock transactions or ownership statements tied to Bain investment deals at the time, including forms approving the sales of large stakes in DD Corp, which ultimately went bankrupt. That was one of them, their companies that he said he didn't have nothing to do with because he was already gone.
But Obama's bad because of the Solyndra thing.
Yeah, and he was stuck in Salt Lake, as we know, and he couldn't get a flight. He flew southwest there, and you can't fly. It didn't go northeast, so you couldn't fly it back. There's no way to get back
southwest
to Boston.
Southwest only flies in the southwest direction.
That's right.
Yeah, that was north and east. It's
it has to
no
cross the
go.
North Pole to get back to.
Sorry, you're stuck here for 3 years. On Friday, Washington Post Glenn Kessler walked back his defense of Romney's position that he played no role at all in Bain after his 1999 birth.
Why no role at all? I meant big, big, big role.
Dude, this is getting curious on curious. All right, 46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't turn her off. Not in the middle of turning her on. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Why don't they do what they say? Say what they mean. One thing leads to another. Tell me something more. I know I listen to love before. One thing leads to another. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Oh, I forgot to tell the story. Someone asked me about this shirt. So I have a new future wife.
Oh?
Yes. Angela at SoulCycle. It's because you know I'm a bit of a spinning slut.
A little bit.
I go to spinning class every day, and so a friend took me to a new class. So, let me just say, first of all, I've never seen a human being's legs move that fast.
Okay.
I was afraid one of my legs is going to fly off like, you know, what's her name? Heather Mills in Dancing on the Stars.
Right.
Yeah, it was really... and so right after the class, somebody at the front desk said, oh, isn't she great? You know, she's an Olympic sprinter. I'm like, oh, now a warning? Now
a warning?
Okay, thanks for that. She goes, yeah, she and her husband are Olympic sprinters. I was like, oh, that information would have been good before I...
tried to keep up with her.
Yeah. Here's my favorite quote ever in an exercise class. She said, there's no recovery in this class. Recovery is staying alive.
Recovery is dropping dead or not dropping dead.
Recovery is for wussies?
No recovery. Recovery staying alive. She kept repeating it like a mantra. There's no, like, you know, recovery songs.
If you're, I don't do well with coaches like that.
Yeah.
And then the class, she's like, put your hand over your heart. See? You're still
alive.
Recovery.
For
and
now.
I'm like, actually, I feel a little bit of a
palpitation.
Regular heartbeat.
Yeah.
Could you call 911?
That's really dangerous.
No, it was awesome. She's awesome. She's the best coach
ever.
Only
she would say that that's awesome.
Awesome.
I thought I was going to die. Close to death is awesome.
If your heart rate isn't about 10,000,
I went to the light and then I came back. She's awesome. It's just, you know, I'm just saying.
Well, don't cry to me when you're in a coma.
It's good to push yourself. She was like Louis Gossett Jr. in, like, Officer and a Gentleman. I was like Richard Gere. I was just, I'm not quitting. I've got nowhere else to go. You know, it was just a...
Yeah, I don't do well with
that sort of.
Oh, yeah, you can tell you don't exercise. You're hardly ever at the gym.
Oh, but the
well, no, I don't do that.
You're like one big muscle with eyes. You're a muscle with eyes. Somebody look at the back of his head. Can the camera get the back of his head? What is that? It's like a,
a pack of hot dogs.
You're like a pack of hot dogs in the back of your head, muscle head.
Sorry.
I've been to spinning classes where they say, go at your own pace.
Go, go, go! What are you, a pansy? Yeah. What are you doing?
They never mean
that. But do it at your own pace.
All right.
You're not dead yet. Not good enough.
I'd like to push myself from time to time. All right.
I push myself in other ways. I don't push myself to the point of death.
No recovery. No, recovery is staying alive.
It's not fun for me.
You can sleep and you're dead. Just do it.
And you will be soon. If we have anything to say
about
it.
Yeah, if you keep up that heart rate, you will be dead soon.
Wasn't there a story about Lindsay Lohan falling off her spinning bike? Which you're actually clipped into the pedals. That's hard to do. I don't know if that'll be me. All right. Speaking of Austin women, former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor said yesterday it was unfortunate that some Republicans had called Chief Justice John Roberts a traitor after he voted to uphold President Obama's health care law. She said, I think comments like that demonstrate only too well a lack of understanding that some of our citizens have the role, some of our citizens have about the role of the judicial branch. Once again, appointed by Reagan.
That's right.
All right. What the hell is going on with the Jacksons? We need an update.
Oh, my God.
They've temporarily stopped kidnapping each other, but I don't know. So, Tito's, who is it? Cousin? No, Tito's son is now the guardian
TJ.
Of Michael Jackson's kids. They've temporarily stripped Katherine Jackson of her guardianship because I don't.
Catherine Jackson.
They're saying first of all, they were saying that she was being held against her will by other siblings
right.
or
but
something.
But she released a statement. She was on camera yesterday saying that she's fine.
She's coming back. Yes.
Right.
Yes. Mm. Yes, TJ said he got a phone call from her where she sounded weird and not like herself. And,
right.
The judge did say she was not suspended for wrongdoing, but that she was prevented from doing her guardianship by...
other people in the Jackson family?
The kidnappers. This family. They're on their Unity tour. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know what's happening there, but that's that is just a weird. Yeah, she said she's fine and she's coming back.
She's not herself. Well, maybe she was in a spinning class where she got her heart rate up.
Maybe she went to the wrong spinning class in Arizona.
And she had a brain related event.
Well, this is all about the money. This is all about Michael Jackson's money and who's getting the money.
Yeah. We have to give a Christian Bale. That was very cool. Mm-hmm. That was very cool. He, because, we made fun of him when that tape came out, you know, with him going nuts on a set. But he, that was a cool move. He visited a lot of the moviegoers hospitalized following the shooting spree. He stopped by the memorial with his wife, and he visited some of the...
And didn't bring any publicity cameras with him or anything.
No.
The only photos
he was there on behalf of himself. Right. I said not on behalf of Warner Brothers.
Right. The only photos or videos that you got from it were cell phone pictures from, the people who were there. So that's really, really classy.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Jim, how about this Greek triple jumper?
Sorry, what?
Triple jumper / racist.
Greek
triple
one,
jumper, she's out of this. She can't play in their reindeer games.
No.
Oh, dear. She made some racist comments and expressed some right-wing sentiments on Twitter.
Yeah.
She said, hey, Olympic athletes in the comedy, maybe not so much.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
She tweeted, with so many Africans in Greece, at least the West Nile mosquitoes will eat homemade food.
Wow.
Okay, and then she reposted a comment from a controversial Greek politician who strongly criticized his government's soft immigration policy. So, in other news, Jim has the soccer girls soccer news.
Yes. Apparently. Yes, the women's soccer team beat France 4-2.
Yeah.
Jim just watches to see when there's going to be another Brandi Chastain, shirt removing.
I'm hoping for Hope Solo. Or maybe Alex Morgan.
I don't know who those people are.
Not Abby Wambach so much. Great player, but...
I don't keep up with the Twilight kids, do you? But Kristen Stewart of Twilight, sorry for sucking face with old human instead of young vampire boyfriends.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, Kristen she cheated on her boyfriend.
On Robert Pattinson with director Rupert Sanders. Rupert Sanders cheated on his wife, Liberty Ross, with Kristen Stewart.
Well, what
both
do you expect from vampires?
They're supposed to suck something. They both issued statements within minutes of each other apologizing to their cheaties. So everybody move along. There's nothing more to see here.
Wow.
There's not a measurement a machine that can measure my indifference to the
story. I'm sorry for that. That 10 seconds of your life you will not get back. All right, that's it for us. Go to sexyliberal.com or just go to ticketmaster.com or go right to the Pantages box office. Snap off those last few tickets for Saturday night, Sexy Liberal. I'd like to thank Crystal Boy, Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, Courtney, Jackie, Shelby, everybody in the current
Kelby.
Control room. That's what I said.
You said Shelby. She's still...
I am drunk. It's Sexy Liberal Prom Weekend. Okay, see you tomorrow.
She said brain damage from spinning class.
Stephanie Miller Show.